Well, last week we had 11 verses, but today we are going to have only one verse. And that's verse 12. So we're in James chapter 5, and we've made it to verse 12, which says, "Above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes, and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment or condemnation." And these words may seem very familiar to you because Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount basically said the same thing. Let me just read that to you really quick. In Matthew 5, Jesus says, "Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all. Neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make the hair your hair one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no, for whatever is more than that within these is from the evil one." Very similar, only Jesus expanded on it a bit. Remember when you were a kid? Maybe not all of you, when I was a kid. When someone would say something, and you would say, "Well, do you swear that that's true?" Or I would say something, and people would say to me, "Well, do you swear that that's true? Why? Why did we do that?" Because we were liars. I knew that the other kids were liars. They knew that I was a liar. We all knew that we were liars. And therefore, in order to try and get the truth out of someone, you have them take an oath and swear that what they're saying is true. Now, that doesn't just happen with kids. We grow up and we still require people to take oaths because we're trying to deal with man's dishonesty. We make people take oaths because we know that men are liars. If you remember in Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah sees this vision of the Lord God Almighty, and angels are there saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and the earth is full of His glory," and Isaiah can't handle such glory. He knows he's a sinful man, and he falls on his face, and he says, "Woe is me, I am undone, I'm falling apart, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst the people of unclean lips." One of the main ways that we have unclean lips is because we lie. And Isaiah knew that not only himself, but everyone around him has unclean lips. In Psalm 58, it says, "We come forth from the womb speaking lies." Now, I know that there are some people that even if you put them under oath, they'll still lie. Okay? I mean, if someone is a liar, simply saying, "Well, I swear," is not going to change anything. They could put their hand on the Bible and say, "I swear by the Bible," but if they're liars, they could still be lying. It doesn't make any difference. There are some people who have a bit more of a conscience than that, and even though they lie in general, if you put them under oath, they may feel like, "Okay, this time I should tell the truth." But to go back to James and the context 2,000 years ago, James is writing to Israelite Christians, and Jesus was talking to the Jews. And the Jews were very big on oaths, taking oaths. And before we get into the text, let me just say, what's the point of the text? This, just flat out, what's the point? Point is, James is saying here in verse 12, and Jesus was saying in Matthew 5, that our speech should be honest, so honest, so sincere, so truthful, that it should be unnecessary for us to take oaths. We should be so trustworthy that we should simply say yes or no, and people say, "Okay, he said yes, so that's the end of it." That's how Christians should be. Now, let's go to the text. There's a bunch of things that we need to talk about. Really quick, the verse starts off by saying, "But above all, my brethren, do not swear." Okay, above all. Most people that I've heard or read say, yep, when James says above all, that means that what he's about to say is the most important thing in the book. Above all. That may be true, but I somehow don't see it that way. It could be. It could be that he's saying, yeah, you know how I talked about how we should be doers of the word and not just hearers of the word? Well, this is above everything. You know how I said that faith without works is dead? Well, this is above everything. Maybe. I'm not sure. I tend to think, I'm not dogmatic on this, I tend to think that this is more of a literary device to let you know that he's starting to close up his letter. Kind of like saying, and last but not least, this. But above all, this. And because he's closing off his letter, and you may know or you may notice that James doesn't really close off his letter in a formal way. He's not like Paul, who will close it off by saying, greetings from these people and say hi to these people, or I'm going to come see you soon. You know, Paul is much more formal. James just kind of cuts it off. So I think, again, I'm not dogmatic, that when he says, but above all, I think he's closing up his letter, signaling that he's about to end, and he's going to end with three short lessons, which interestingly enough all have to do with speech. James has been huge on speech. He's going to talk about oaths. We're going to look at that today. Next week he's going to talk about, we're going to talk about prayer. And then thirdly, he's going to talk about warning believers who have strayed. James is huge on speech. The entire book is all about how we use our speech. Just as Jesus said, whatever's in the heart comes out of the mouth. Well, James is basically telling us the same thing, that I want to see how you speak, and so that way I can see if I should consider you a Christian or not. Anyhow, verse 12 continues, and he says, above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven, or by earth, or by any other oath. Now obviously here, when he says do not swear, he's not talking about cussing. He's not talking about filthy language or corrupt language. He's talking about taking oaths. Now the Bible has a lot to say about oaths. What's an oath in the Bible? When someone takes an oath in the name of God, what are they doing? They're basically saying, they're declaring that the statement that I'm making is true, and I'm calling God as a witness so that if I'm not speaking the truth, I'm going to be judged by God. God will deal with me accordingly and punish me if I'm not speaking the truth. So it's a very, very serious thing to make an oath in the name of God. Now, here's the big question that everyone always immediately has to deal with when we read this verse or when we read Jesus saying, don't take oaths or vows, never swear. Here's the obvious question. Is James and Jesus absolutely forbidding all oaths and vows? Because there are many people, many good Christian people who say yes. Yes, we are never to take a vow. Jesus said so. It says, don't take a vow at all. Don't swear at all. And there have been good Christian people for 2,000 years who have said, you know, Jesus said, no oaths, end of story. I tend to lean slightly in a different direction. I would say there are times when we are allowed to take an oath, and let me give you a few reasons why. First of all, throughout the Bible, we see good, godly men taking oaths. Just start going through the Old Testament. Abraham takes oaths. Isaac takes oaths. Jacob. David, all these men, we read about them taking oaths. In fact, there are a number of times in the Old Testament where God requires people to take an oath. Like in the law. There's a bunch of places in the law. Let me just give you an example. And there's a bunch of others. Exodus 22, it says that if you borrowed like an ox or something from your neighbor, and the ox died or something happened to it while it was in your possession, and it wasn't your fault. You don't know why it died or why it got sick or whatever, and you take it back and the guy's like, hey, what's going on here? The Lord required the man to take an oath and say, I didn't do it, it wasn't my fault, I'm bringing back your goods, I know it's not how you gave it to me, but I don't know why it's like this. And if he took the oath, the other guy was to say, okay, that's fine, I believe you, and wouldn't require anything more of him. So there are times when God actually required of people to take an oath. Now you may say, well, all the things that you've mentioned, Nico, is in the Old Testament. You got, you know, all these people in the Old Testament and God giving these rules and the law. But now in the New Testament, Jesus says, don't swear at all. But he has a problem. Because even in the New Testament, we read about Paul taking an oath. In fact, we even see Jesus taking an oath. You're like, where did Jesus take an oath? When Jesus was arrested and taken on trial, it wasn't a real trial in the middle of the night, but we'll call it a trial. In Matthew 26, the high priest says to him, swear, take an oath in the name of the Lord, are you the Messiah, the Son of God? And Jesus does not say, well, you know, I'm not allowed to take an oath. He says, yes, I am, basically. He says, it is as you say. So, now, again, let me just make this clear. Vows should not be taken all the time. It's not something that you do every day. It's something very serious, very solemn, very sober. They're not to be taken lightly. You are never to take a vow. In fact, it's better to never take a vow than take a vow and then break it. But I do believe that the Bible allows for us, in certain situations, to take vows or oaths. If you're in a court of law and they require you to take an oath because this is a serious matter, people's lives are on the line, people's livelihoods are on the line, I think it would be okay to take an oath. If you're getting married, I took an oath when I married Savula. I did. This is one of the most important decisions you're going to make in your life. So I would say it's okay to take an oath. Now, again, some people will say, but Nico, look, it says, don't swear at all. Well, Jesus says, at all. James says, don't take any other oath. Nothing. It's absolute. So what do you do with that? Well, I think we need to try and get into the historical context to try and figure out what's behind this, because there are a number of other places in the Bible where you have absolute statements, but when you step back and see what the background is, you're like, oh, okay, I see what the point was. For example, back in the same Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, Jesus says, when you pray, go into your closet, close the door, pray on your own where God is the only one that sees you. Now that's an absolute statement. When you pray, go by yourself, not in front of men, shut the door, and God is the only one that needs to hear you. Now if we take that on its own, I've already broken that today, because I prayed in front of all of you. Jesus broke that. Jesus prayed in front of people. The apostles prayed in front of people. So, but what's the point? Well, the point was because the Pharisees loved being seen by men. They loved standing in the marketplace and praying and being more eloquent and loud, and people would look at them and be like, wow, aren't they fantastic? Aren't they so holy? And that's what they wanted. They wanted the praise of men. And so Jesus is saying, look, praying is not about being seen by men like the Pharisees. Rather, when you pray, go into your closet, shut the door, and pray there. God will see you. That was his point. So here, what's behind this? What's going on? I think it would help us. Hold your place in James, because we'll be right back. Could you please go to Matthew 23? This is the passage where Jesus is saying, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. And you have this long list of sinful things that the Pharisees are doing. Matthew 23. Well, let's read verse 16. He says, "Woe to you blind guides who say, whoever swears by the temple, that's nothing. But whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it's nothing. But whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it." What's going on here? Here's what was happening. The Jews understood that it was dead serious to make an oath in the name of God. Absolutely. And they were terrified that if they took an oath in the name of God, God would judge them and punish them. And so what they would do was, they said, well, what if we take oaths by lesser things than God? So if I'll take an oath by the temple, or by the altar, or by the gift that's on the altar, or by whatever, something lesser than God. So I still look spiritual, I still look pious, but even if I don't keep it, God's not going to get me because I didn't promise this in the name of God. You see, so basically what they were doing was they were trying to find ways to not keep their oaths. Kind of like we cross our fingers and we give an oath, and then if we don't do it, we can say, yeah, but you know, I was like this, so it doesn't really matter. But that's what they would do. They would say, I swear by earth or by heaven. And then they wouldn't keep it. Well, I didn't swear by God, so it's not that serious. That was their point. And so both Jesus and James are dealing with this. I do not believe they're forbidding all vows, but they're forbidding the misuse of vows. They're talking about this light-hearted, just everyday, I swear on something, and then people wouldn't keep it. And both Jesus and James are just saying, stop all this ridiculous, oh, I swear by the temple. Yeah, you know, the temple belongs to God, so you're breaking God's, you're lying anyway. I swear by the earth, or I swear by heaven. Yeah, well, heaven and earth also belong to God, so you're still breaking your oath. Doesn't make any difference. You vowed and you broke it. And this is the lesson for the Christian. We are not to be like that. And he's saying, don't even go there. Christians, don't even go there. You don't even need it. Don't even take an oath. Rather, what is his point? He says, let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. If you go back to James, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. He says, that's enough. Why would you even need to swear? Simple, just say, this is what it is. Once you say it once, it should be good enough. We should be known as people who always speak the truth. We should be known as people who are trustworthy all the time. I know the world is not like this. I mean, how often? All the time, you hear people saying, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, and they don't do it. How often, you have a problem at home, like something is broken, and you call the guy, and he says, I'll be there tomorrow between 12 and 1, and you change your schedule and so that you can be there at that time, and then they don't show up. Happens all the time. You have an apartment that you're renting out, and the contract says you're supposed to pay the rent on the first of the month. And then you go, and well, I don't have the rent right now. Come back in a week or two. And it's like, yeah, well, we had a contract which said you're supposed to pay now. And I don't need the money in 2 weeks. I need it now. You see, I have bills that I need to pay also. There are people who are depending on me now. So when you don't give me the money that you owe me now, I can't give the money to other people to whom I owe it now. You see, we say things all the time. Yeah, I'll do this, I'll do that. We even swear about it. And it doesn't happen. And let me say one more thing. You know what the saddest thing of all is? When Christians do that. because you expect more from Christians. I know what the world is like. And I know that unbelievers don't keep their word as much as Christians do. I get that. But it's just more disappointing. Because you expect believers to keep their word. You expect them to be true. You expect them when they say yes to mean yes. And so, even though it may not be as often, when it happens, it personally bothers me even more. Look, we follow Him who said He is the way, the truth, and the life. And therefore, we should be always speaking the truth and be trustworthy and truthful all the time. And James, the verse ends by saying, let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment or condemnation. Krisis. And you may say to me, well, wait a minute there. Judgment, condemnation. If I'm lying, if I break oaths, wait a minute, Nico, are you telling me that if I break my oaths and if I'm a liar, that I'm going to go to hell? Nico, I thought you believed in eternal security, and you're telling me now that if I'm a Christian, I'm going to lose it and go to hell? I'm not saying you're going to lose your salvation. I do believe in eternal security, but I also believe that there are many people who go to church who say that they're Christians and are not. And the whole point of the book of James, the whole point of the book of James, as we've seen for months now, he's writing to people in the church who are saying that they're Christians, and he's saying, okay, you say you have faith? Show me by your works. Chapter 2. Chapter 3. You think you're wise? Show me by your life. You say you believe in one God? Good. Even the demons believe that. Show me. I want to see. The entire book of James has been a series of tests to examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. And this is one more. And so you're to ask yourself, do I live my life by lying all the time? Do I make vows all the time and break them? Because if you do, it could be evidence that you're not a believer. The world doesn't think that lies are a big deal, but to God, they're a huge deal. The Bible uses very strong language concerning lying and liars. Satan is called the father of lies. Jesus is the truth. So when we would rather lie than tell the truth, well, we're kind of going on Satan's side rather than Jesus' side. So it's very serious. I have just a few verses I would like to read to you and I'll be done. At the end of the book of Revelation, there's some serious language about liars. In Revelation 21, it speaks of those who will not be part of the kingdom of God. And it has people that, it starts off and it says, but the cowardly, unbelievers, abominable, sexually immoral, and you're like, oh yeah, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. All in the midst of all these sorcerers and idolaters and these awful things, it says, and all liars. God is serious about lying. In the same chapter, it speaks of the heavenly Jerusalem coming down from heaven, and it says, it talks about the people who will dwell there, and it says in verse 27, but there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Nothing's going in that lies. And then, of course, in Revelation 22, right at the end, where it speaks of the city and how in the city all those who are blessed, it says in verse 15, but outside are dogs, and sorcerers, and sexually immoral, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loves and practices a lie. Now, this does not mean that if you've ever said a lie, you're going to hell. Otherwise, we would all be going to hell. But if you're a Christian, this will not be the pattern of your life. If you lie, which you shouldn't, if pure Christian, that would be the exception, not the rule. If you remember in James chapter 1, he said that we who are believers, God gave birth to us. He brought us forth by the word of truth. We are to be people of truth. When Christ, who is the truth, saves a person, he doesn't just leave him to his own devices. He changes his heart. The Holy Spirit conforms him to the image of Christ. And since Christ always speaks the truth, if we are to be like Christ, if we are to take the name of Christ and call ourselves Christians, we are also to speak the truth. We shouldn't have to take vows because we always speak the truth. It should be that when we say something, we mean it. So let's ask God to help us to not be like the world, but to be more like Christ and speak the truth. Thank you for your attention. Let's pray.